America, world, people in space who can hear this, non-people in space who can hear this. I don't know how aliens identify, but I'm glad you're listening to episode 337 of the Quarantine Cast, recorded on August 12th, 2021. Any of you guys come in with topics today? Because I got one in the chamber, but you know what? We can save that as a backup.
Lucas has one in the pipe. Shoot it off, boy.
So, can I go off for a second about the plot of the most recent chapter of My Hero Academia? This is a rhetorical question. I'm going to do it anyway.
No, I don't think you need our permission. I think you do what you want.
Yeah, because if we say no, what happens then? You're going to do it anyway.
Exactly.
You're going to take delight in the fact that we don't want what's happening to happen.
Thank you for indulging me. So the current setup right now is that the big bad supervillain is after the main character because he's special. And like if they get his power, then he can take over the world or some dumb shit. And then is sending assassins after him that, you know, even if he beats them, they blow up. They blow up, do damage to the immediate area. So he's kind of like, hey, I shouldn't be around people right now. Isn't. Gets a little fucked up in the process, but then his friends come and are like, hey, no, you should come with us to a shelter with a bunch of civilians that you, as a hero, are supposed to be trying to protect. And he's like, that seems like a really bad idea. And they're like, no, it's not. And he's like, I mean, I think it is, but I am fucking exhausted from running around by myself for 3 weeks, so okay, I guess. And then they take him there, and the people in the shelter are like, that's the kid that, like, the super terrorist is after, right? He should not be here. And then the main character's friends are like, wow, he's been trying to protect you. How dare you not support him? Blue lives matter. This is a good idea, keeping him here. And I hate it. I am on the record as an anime fan saying I hate My Hero Academia now. I did before, but now especially. It's just dumb.
Sounds dumb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you're not the only one watching a dumb anime. I'm watching Invincible 2.
Hooray!
I had a feeling when you started talking about Mark Hamill. I was like, that's deep cut, because his character is very bit and not great, in my opinion. But you differed so far.
Well, I just mean, it's a very small role, like I think Mark Hamill's a good voice actor.
This seems
but I'm like, that's the Joker. I heard the Joker, and I'm like, oh shit, that is Mark Hamill.
I felt like he was just so out of place, like that. I look, because Amazon, I will say one thing about Amazon Prime, as lame as that fucking streaming service is, they do have that X-ray feature, which is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like just like who's on screen.
Oh,
although
shit.
They do sometimes have it accidentally spoil shit, like if there's like a character who has two identities or something like that, and that's a spoiler.
Yeah.
They'll just say, the role is these two people, and that's who they play. And it's like, oh, god damn it, Amazon. But yeah, no, like, I was just like, who's this person that's, like, chewing the scenery and, like, really obviously putting on a character when everyone else is, like, playing it pretty naturalistic? Like, J.K. Simmons and Steven Yeun are playing pretty natural characters, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, kid, how is it going? And like, it's just like very, like, what the fuck? This is an anti-Donna character. Like, it's like way, like, they have to differentiate really strong. I'm like, what is, oh, it's Mark Hamill. Okay. Now I kind of get it. He's the voice actor, you know, like a lot of the other people are just doing a part, and he is doing a character.
I want Amazon to get the rights to one of the Eddie Murphy movies where he plays like half a dozen characters. Turn on the X-ray feature, and it's like, in this scene, Eddie Murphy.
They don't list them more than once.
That's
spoiler. Mm-hmm. They'll just list it once and then list all of their roles, which is why it's a spoiler, is because they don't remove a role that could be a big spoiler that, like, this character is also this character and blah, 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 blah.
And okay. There's sometimes little blurbs that say, like, here's a fun fact. Mark Hamill plays these two characters in this scene, but you might not know that until the end. Like, I don't know. It's Justin Roiland's voice acting as just Justin Roiland's two voices was pretty fucking bad.
Wait, yeah. Does he do Rick and or Morty in this?
Yeah, I don't know if you've gotten to that episode yet, Ryan.
Yeah, what episode is that?
Well, I think it was episode 6.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
Oh, okay.
Jesus Christ, you flew through this shit.
Yeah, I'm off of work.
You just like marathoned past me. Goddamn.
It was weird because I'd been debating on if I should actually watch this show for a long time because, like I talked about a couple months ago, I had seen pretty much every big plot point in this show because my YouTube recommendations were so fucked up and just,
yeah,
like Amazon really wanted YouTube to make me watch Invincible. So I had seen a lot of it already and I was planning on putting it in my top 10s even though I had only seen it in 30-second clips at a time. But then when Ryan, like, actually watched it, I'm like, oh, man, if someone challenges me on something that I haven't seen, it's going to look real bad for Andrew. So then I decided to watch it.
Yeah. I got to finish it before we talk about it because, yeah, I feel like there's developments going on.
Mm-hmm. What?
So,
what is the deal with the character Adam Eve, and is she interesting? Because I've seen a little bit of chatter online about her, but nothing big.
She's a decent character.
Okay.
Like, she's got bullshit powers. She's like, half of her powers are just Starfire from the Teen Titans, and the other half is literally Dr. Manhattan.
Oh, okay. So, wait. Bullshit... Like, are they bullshit because they're inconsistent or because they're overpowered? Because this is a show where the main character is named Invincible.
Well, I mean, it's...
Yeah, but they reference that constantly, yeah, how that's a really
it's kind of an overdone
dumb name.
Show.
Okay.
Like, yeah. But no, like, so it's inconsistent because for the first 3 episodes that she's in, her powers are she can fly and make magic barriers and shoot laser beams.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like... When she has to explain what her powers is, she's like, I rearrange matter. And she, like, makes a house big, and then makes it small, and then makes a door appear, and then takes a window away. And then later on in the series, you see that she can literally create and destroy at will. But that doesn't have anything to do with her pink laser beam powers. I don't fucking get it.
Oh, so she's out there, like, solving the energy crisis and world hunger...
Yeah,
resource shortages.
That's what she decides to do. That's what she decides to do later on. I don't want to spoil anything for you, Ryan, but there is a certain point where she's like, "Yeah, I can rearrange a matter at will. I should probably actually do something about how fucked the world is."
But those purse snatchers, though, that's the real issue plaguing the city, plaguing the community.
Those aliens that come from the M. Night Shyamalan Beach universe.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
You gotta take those down.
Aliens get old.
That's a plot point. Yeah, the aliens that are really powerful, but they get old really fast, so...
Okay.
They keep beating them. Until Omni-Man comes in. Like, they, like, struggle the first time, and then all of a sudden they start getting old. And then the second time the aliens come back a few days later and it's been like decades in their time, kind of like the Narnia thing.
Oh.
And they're wearing wristbands that prevent them from getting old. And then so they start beating all the wristbands and manage to like push back the tide. And then the third time they don't have wristbands. They've just figured it out. Like they're no longer getting old and they're all just fucked and they're about to all die. And then Omni-Man just fucking displays how he's on another level.
Yeah.
Like Andrew said, there's some people with bullshit powers. Omni-Man is like just
Omni-Man
destructo, man.
He destroyed a planet.
Yeah, no, he wasn't satisfied with just beating the shit out of the aliens that came to Earth. He went through the portal to the alien planet. And like Invincible's kind of fucked up about it. Like he's like, "Oh man, dad flew into the portal in the alien planet." And his mom is just kind of like, "Oh yeah, like, cool. Well, I guess he'll be a little late for dinner." Like, and then we see what he's doing, and he's just single-handedly destroying the existence of these aliens,
committing a genocide, flying so fast that the friction of the air around him turns him into a meteor, and just destroys the fucking planet.
Yeah. So he's kind of on another that's plane.
That's some Goku shit. All right, dig it.
Yep. It is kind of fun.
Huh.
Which is interesting. There's been a lot of interesting power balancing moments in the first few episodes. Like I kind of don't buy it. The way that the Guardians of the Globe fucking all were able to damage him pretty decently.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, then it seemed like he's just not on the same plane as all the other superheroes. Like,
well, the
it seems like the Guardians of the Globe are just, like, the next step up from the heroes that we're following. Mm-hmm. And then Omni-Man is, like, just not even in the same universe in terms of power balance. Like,
I think the idea was that a lot of the Guardians of the Globe were just so astronomically better than the other superheroes on Earth. And that's why they were able to at least put up a fight against Omni-Man. They weren't going to win, but they were able to put up a fight.
They fucked him up. Like, they fucked him up pretty bad. It's safe to say that he was on the ropes. Like,
yeah, but there were seven of them.
Right. I would say the majority of the damage came from the internal bleeding from, what's his name?
Red Rush.
Red Rush, yeah. Just literally pummeling
a thousand
his insides.
Yeah, punching him a thousand times in a second.
Yeah. Like, that's so, when that's a majority of the damage, and then it seemed like, God, his name's not, it was Immortal. Yeah. Like, they had an invincible and Immortal. It seemed like Immortal was the actual Omni-Man of the Guardians of the Globe, basically, and he just kind of didn't really get much of a chance to really unleash before he got fucking decapitated, so.
Okay, so is Immortal's power just that he's immortal, or does he have, like...
He's definitely not immortal.
Oh!
I can tell you that much. He's 100% not immortal. He seemed like Omni-Man, but, like, weaker Omni-Man.
Okay.
Like, he flies and punches shut shit and...
Oh. Yeah. All right.
And it seemed like he, in particular, had a grudge against Omni-Man. Because, yeah, he's just shitty Omni-Man.
Huh.
So...
What episode are you on again?
I think I just finished 4. No, I started 4. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I was going to watch 4, and then Angel came home early yesterday, and so I was just like, all right.
You got to catch up. We got to talk about this stuff.
I'll probably be done before the main podcast on Sunday.
This does sound like some anime shit. This does sound like some fun...
Yeah,
how
it's
are
fucking
these...
anime.
How are these powers going to interact? Like, that's neat. That's
fun. It's anime with better English voice acting.
That's honestly it.
Ooh, has J.K. Simmons been in an actual anime?
Actual anime? I mean, I resent that.
Depends on if you consider The Legend of Korra anime, which we
oh,
you yep, all know.
Okay, he has then.
It.
Cool.
He has then. So Avatar's anime, but Invincible isn't?
I'm saying neither of them are anime.
I know you are, Andrew, and I don't care about your opinion.
No shit.
Lucas... You and me are weeb haters. Like, Lucas is going to have a bit more of an informed finger-on-the-pulse opinion of what's anime.
According to the anime voiceover wiki powered by Fandom, voiced a character in the 1994 Japanese animated film Pom Poko by Studio Ghibli.
Hmm.
Eh.
Not bad.
Fair.
In the English dub or in both versions?
No, J.K. Simmons, dub. Huge weeb, knows the language.
If it's a small enough part, and also in like Japanese anime, sometimes they have English-speaking characters and they subtitle them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Also a thing that has progressively gotten better over time, English-speaking characters in Japanese dubbed anime.
English-speaking characters in Japanese dubbed anime. I need to break that down.
So sometimes in like the original Japanese version of an anime, there are characters that speak English because it would be thematically appropriate for them to do so.
Yes.
It used to be real bad. They used to be directed by people who not the best English speakers, and in some cases actors who I don't speak English. I'm just doing phonetics right now.
I mean, we do that with fucking every other language. Like, if you go to the trivia section of any movie that has people speaking other languages, they're like, These people are clearly not native speakers. Like, they speak it, but yeah, they're not native speakers, and they could have used more direction. Like, the inflections are all wrong and stuff like that. So, like, in I Go to Japan, the massive episode of iCarly, they had two Japanese, like, there was a Japanese web show group, and it was a boyfriend, girlfriend, or a brother and sister. And yeah, they were both just Americans who were Japanese American and spoke some level of Japanese, but like kind of weren't very good at it. And yeah, like we do that all the time.
I missed that episode of iCarly growing up.
Wow. Yeah. That was a big one. Also, it was pretty problematic.
Oh, sounds like no.
If you watch the Quentin Reviews iCarly video, which I think is 4 hours long, you can go to the I Go to Japan section. And yeah, it's like whoever made this episode really hates Japan. like just really, really doesn't like Japan.
I do
which
remember,
is weird.
I do remember that episode now because they get lost and they have the Japanese English dictionary and they're trying to speak to a security guard and all they can say is I have a bladder infection. And it turns out it's because the security guard is telling them that he has a bladder infection and he wants help.
And yeah, they get lost because the Japanese web show duo is an evil, scheming web show duo who, yeah, basically leave them for dead in the middle of the Japanese wilderness. Yeah.
Man, say what you will about iCarly, but they predicted exactly how cutthroat these YouTube drama channels would be.
Yep.
Except people weren't watching that shit on YouTube. They were watching it on iCarly.com.
Hell yeah.
Good. Yeah. Also good for iCarly and her team realizing, hey man, these ad metrics coming from YouTube, coming to Facebook, they can't be legit. We gotta stick to our own platform, you know? Video production there. We don't need it on YouTube. I mean, maybe as a side thing for additional income, elevate it a little bit, get more people coming to the site, but it should be promotional at the most. We can't be giving away the good stuff for ad revenue. That's ridiculous.
That is another interesting part, is that, like, they do, like, he talks about, like, yeah, they predict a lot of stuff. Like, they do a pretty decent job sometimes, while being completely inept at, like, what online video production actually was like. Like, they just kind of latched on to the, like, lay random culture, and that was all of the web content.
Random dancing! Yeah, ooh, exactly. Isn't that funny? You all love it!
Dance.
Guys,
circa,
like, 2010, we ate that shit up. People ate that shit up.
Not really, though.
No, that was in-universe.
A subset of...
That was, like, 2003, I think, is more, like, early viral videos. That were, like, Newgrounds and, like, based on web hosting, not, like, pre-YouTube days.
I mean, I guess the sheer fact that they had a dedicated camera guy, and Freddie didn't need to be there. He just needed to be an editor and make nothing.
I mean, he was, like, that was another point, is they're like, Freddie is a god. Like, if any of you have ever worked in live production, it seems like everything behind the scenes is one guy. Like, literally, he has that thing on his belt that has three buttons on it, and somehow those three buttons do everything. Like, it's like miraculous that all of this stuff is pulled off, and like, yeah, it's pretty wild. And that the most they reference how many live viewers they have at one point. They get up to, like, a million concurrent live viewers, which, like, if you look at the largest Twitch streams of all time, like, that's, like, number three or something like that. Like, it's remarkable how big their audience was for, like, early days of streaming video. So.
I mean, they were.
But then they also do good, like, they have good predictions of, collaboration and like online celebrity and like how that kind of doesn't quite jive with mainstream celebrity. And
we talked about it a little bit, but like the iCarly's biggest fan episode and that character being very, very developmentally disabled coded. Not great. No. Oh, boy. But then
she's very obviously just neurodiverse, and they were just like, let's just make fun of neurodiverse people or children, neurodiverse children in this episode. Like, it's all adult writers. So
can we show her feet if she's supposed to be fucked up?
Oh. But then also, yeah, parasocial relationships and all that weird stuff.
Yeah.
Also, it's the only joke with the character Gibby that he's, like, heavier set and weird.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he's actually, especially in the later seasons, he's just a core cast member. Like, Gibby literally just becomes the fifth member of the cast. Like, he very much has, like, his own storylines and arcs and everything. And, yeah, he likes to take his shirt off a lot, but, like... I'd say season one, yeah, it's pretty much just he's a chubby kid that takes his shirt off. But he's also far and away the youngest cast member.
Yeah.
Like, he's like 5 or 6 years younger than all the other, like, main teenage cast. Oh. Like, he was like 11 playing 13 when they started the show.
That never happens. Wow.
Yeah, all the rest of them were like 15, 16 playing 13. So, yeah, it was pretty wild.
Huh.
I thought you were talking about the villain. I forget what his name was. He was the guy that was a huge fan of
Neville.
Yeah, Neville, the Winehouse guy.
No.
I was like, wow, that. That had a lot of, like, queer phobic content onto Neville's character now that I think about it.
Weinstein, not Winehouse. What am I talking about?
Ah.
Weinstein.
Boy, this was made a while ago. Characters can't have that last name anymore.
No, that's not his name. I'm saying that, like,
he's
the abusive, power-hungry, like, I'll make your wildest dream come true if you date me.
Yeah.
That kind of guy.
Mm.
Literally, though.
So I'm looking across the street right now at the building over there, and there's a cinder block on the roof, and I don't think that was there yesterday.
It's industry, Lucas. Get used to it.
Gonna have to look into that. And I'll update you on...
What are you gonna do? Are you gonna fucking go demon detective? God, what that?
Damien Darkblood, demon detective.
What?
An invincible. There's a demon detective named Damien Darkblood.
They're, like, full-on in this, like, own mini-comic universe of...
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah, demons and shit are real.
Yeah, and it's a whole thing. Yeah. And you're like, wait, what are you so upset about? I thought you were an atheist. When people are like, what the fuck? Like, that's a goddamn demon. Who cares? You're an atheist, right?
In principle.
I mean... Having one side of the coin kind of establishes the other, right? I don't know. Whatever. Whatever. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of the Quarantine Cast. I think it was 337. Yeah, that's right. That is absolutely correct. Didn't need to look it up. If you like what you heard, be sure to like, comment, subscribe, etc. Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok for highlight clips. Follow us on Twitter at @V2_podcast for updates. Email us your questions and business opportunities, voluntaryviewing @gmail.com. Actual link in the description down below if you want to help some great progressive causes. Support us on Patreon if you want to help us keep the lights on, or give us money directly through the Anchor Podcast platform. Lastly, my name is Lucas DeRuyter. I have a Twitter where I'm @LucasDeRuyter. Follow me there if you'd like to keep up with all of my writing. Goodbye, everyone, and good luck.